everybody, and welcome to episode number 26 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host today. I am joined by Dana Jungleward.
Hello.
Jessica Chobot.
Hi, guys.
Megan Sullivan.
Kalimera.
And Christine Steimer.
Well, hello there.
Very quickly, I just want to make a quick announcement. So November 2nd is when the Supreme Court is going to be hearing oral arguments on the video game case, and the ESA has just announced that they're going to be having a rally outside of the Supreme Court building on that day, starting at 9 a.m. So if you live in the D.C. area, go out and show your support for
also,
video games.
Also, the ECA has an online petition circulating, so you can sign saying, hey, Supreme Court.
Yeah.
This
don't
is a
be
bad
dummies.
Thing. Yeah. So you can
exactly.
You can go online and sign that
yeah.
as well if you don't live in the DC area. If
right.
you have an internet connection, that's all you need.
Yes. So yeah, so we'll keep you posted as more news happens on that front, but let's go ahead and get started like we always do with what we're playing. Dana, you want to start this week?
Yes. Well, I had ample time to play games last
we were
week.
All up
yeah.
24
because
hours.
Yeah, we did the 24-hour game-a-thon. So, I got to play some. I actually ended up playing about 3 hours of GoldenEye multiplayer because that was something that, we did 2 hours of it on the live stream and mm-hmm. I joined in on those sessions. And then, ended up 4 a.m. when we were like, oh, so falling asleep like a multiplayer game was kind of key at that point. I also got to play a little bit of Kirby, co-op Kirby, which is very cute and very fun. Yeah. It's a good one. And what I liked about it, just because I suck at platformers, and it definitely seemed a much lower bar to entry than I associate with a normal Nintendo platform game. But then I spent the most time playing WoW again. Mm-hmm. And I also, since I'm the only person at this table who has not played Dragon Age or not played past the first hour, I started Dragon Age, and it's
cool.
pretty fun. But I have to get the save off of the work PC so I can take it home
yes.
and finish it there. And so when we finished up, I mean, Nicole and Christine will have their own story. But I think when we got to that end of that 24 hours, we were all like, I think even by like 5 a.m., everyone was like, I hate games. Games
yeah.
suck. I don't want to play games anymore. But I was really worried about being able to fall asleep that night. So I only slept from like 8:30 to 2. And then I had to try and keep myself
That's
awake
exactly
in the
right.
afternoon. I was
yeah.
like, oh, what do I do? I need to do something. And I ended up vlogging back into WoW. And I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm like, oh, but I'll just, yeah. So I ran around the Ungaro crater for a while.
Yeah, it's weird. I did the same thing sleep-wise, but I woke up with so much energy for some reason.
Really?
And I was like, I didn't even want to go to bed. I was like, oh, I'm playing games, yay. And then, yeah, no, I'm weird. But and then
funny,
when, I, but then when
I
went
totally
to bed, I was,
to go to bed.
Oh,
you were
6
the
a.m., I was just like, I want to take a nap at my desk.
You were the most
yeah.
tired person, I
yeah.
think, there, because you were like in your chair because you have a comfy
well,
chair.
Well, it was...
You're like,
I'll get to this in a minute, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a reason for yeah. why I was so tired.
Jess, how about you?
Good. So I didn't do the 24-hour thing since mm-hmm. I was actually on vacation, which
yeah.
is horrible to say.
No,
but
why?
But I
Vacations
did watch.
Are good.
I did watch some of you guys. Nicole, I know I promised you to add to your pile, but I actually ended up giving it to Mark Ryan since he saved my butt because I was going to be late to the airport, so he drove me.
Oh,
nice.
So,
that's all right. I
so
hit
I donated
my goal,
to him
so.
And everybody. Yeah, it
yeah.
looked like everybody hit their goal
mm-hmm.
anyway. But so what I actually have been playing, which I can't really go into too much of, but Fable 3. Just came into the office today.
I just got a copy in
yeah.
my bag,
so
too.
Me too.
I'm literally only like 15 minutes in.
And I don't think you can talk about it either.
And
yeah.
yeah, I can't talk no. about it anyway.
We just
but I got it.
It.
Ha-ha. And then also Fallout New Vegas. I got it last night. I started it last night. I probably played about 3 to 4 hours. And within that time, it crashed. Straight up crashed my 360, as in... You know, you can't go back to the main menu. You can't do anything. It just
reboot.
Stuck. Total reboot. At least 3 to 4 times. So
That's
one
why
crash,
you save often in that game.
One crash per hour, which is very frustrating. And I'm also continuing to play Fallout 3, mm-hmm. which on that, yesterday, I mm-hmm. got stuck for a good 20, 30 minutes on top of a chair because of some sort of weird glitch, bug, whatever. And had to try and, like, scooch my little... controller as much as like a little bit at a time to see if I could get a pop-up or something that I could grab onto and eventually get off the chair. I don't know. I was looking for something, and I tried like opening the desk. I tried, you know, doing all this other stuff. Eventually, it wasn't frozen, so I didn't want to just shut down completely and lose my save because I hadn't saved since the autosave, which was like 3 hours previous.
Right.
Mm. So, I just kind of eventually did this whole jumping around thing at the same time as sitting in the chair and getting out of it. Something that ended up knocking me loose for whatever reason and got me out of the loop. And so I was okay. But it was a bad... I mean, I like both those games quite a bit. I'm really enjoying New Vegas. But I had to stop playing because of frustration. So that's a shame.
Yeah.
It's maddening when you run across those bugs. Like when I was playing Dragon Age, because I'm playing it on PC, I bought the 360 version, but I'm actually... Christina recommended. She was like, play the PC version.
Yeah, go
but there was one little weird quest, like, which you had done, and I was running around, and I was supposed to be finding something. You know how it shows
finding
an X.
The quest marker.
Yeah,
like
the quest marker.
Field marker or something.
Right.
And it was not.
And there was an X on the map. Yeah. Like, there was an X on the map saying, this is where it is. And, like.
And she's standing there, and, like, it just.
I had to just run the mouse.
It was ridiculous how. Small of an area she had to put her mouse in for it to show up.
Yeah, so there was nothing to see and
click
on.
Yeah, there was nothing there except a pile of rocks.
Not even that.
Not even a pile. It was like just next to a boulder, there was some stuff, like, I don't know,
like
foliage or something.
Yeah, thank goodness they had those X's on the map. But yeah, I would literally get to the X on the map and then I would just like scan my mouse very slowly over the screen until I saw the cursor change.
And then you're like, click, click, quickly.
That's really annoying. Well, I mean, you know, we were talking about this right before we started, but my whole thing is I'm fully aware and I understand completely that these are incredibly broad, in-depth games, and you're going to get things that crop up that are issues. But to crash one time per hour, straight up freeze, at $60 a pop or whatever the case, that's just totally unacceptable. Just from a consumer perspective, totally unacceptable. And it's really pissing me off that these companies, particularly Bethesda, because this is not obviously the first time that they've done it, keep coming out and saying, oh, well, we'll fix it. Basically, they're like, we'll fix it in post. We'll fix it, you know, with patches.
But some people don't have the internet. Or they just don't plug their game consoles to it.
So here's a kid that saved up or a mom who saved up and got their kid this present for $60, which is not cheap, and they've got a broken product. And that's apparently just okay. Which, and you actually brought up a great example of, well, that's the problem that PC gamers have been dealing with forever. And I agree, but but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but that just shouldn't be the excuse for console gamers to get away or console developers to get away with this. I literally do feel like sometimes this is just an excuse because they need to get out with it on time or they need to do whatever. And they're like, we'll just fix it in with download. And I just think that's a totally unacceptable attitude to have.
I will say, I know people get frustrated with some companies like a company like Blizzard, which you'll hear about a game and then it will be
years
until it comes out. But, I appreciate why. It's because they wait until a game is done. And they've established a reputation that allows them the luxury to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of developers, if you're beholden to publisher, they have World of Warcraft paying for a nice giant company, but companies like that, it's like it takes time to get that reputation, but it's well deserved,
right?
I would think.
I think in the opposite side of that is that you also have the situation now where these companies are developing bad reputations. They're constantly coming out with screwed up games,
buggy games,
and it's just really disappointing to spend that much money, to wait for it that long, to pre-order this stuff, to take it home and have it do that to you constantly and consistently. And then to have to start over, and maybe you had some autosave two hours previous, and that's 2 hours that you spent, with this game because you love it, that has now been just kind of pissed away because this company didn't take the time to do it right in the first place.
Yeah. That's what you have to learn to save like every freaking 5 minutes in that game. That's annoying. You always feel like you have to.
Well, and it's a shame too because I enjoy this game. I'm enjoying Fallout 3. I like it. I like this game a lot. But it's disappointing to me that I had to stop playing because I was so frustrated that I put it away. And mm-hmm. it might be one of those things where if after this other patch, if something, if I keep mm-hmm. running into these things, I'm just not going to play it. Yeah. I'm going to give it like a couple more shots. And if it keeps on doing it to me, I'm just not going to play it. I just mm-hmm. don't care then. And that probably will be the last Bethesda game I buy for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I reviewed Fallout 3. I keep wanting to call it Fallout 3, yeah. and there's a reason for it, because it looks exactly the same, and it plays exactly the same. But, so that's what I was playing over the 24-hour marathon, and the reason I was so tired is because that game has ridiculous load screens.
Oh, I know.
And so, you know, I'd fast travel, and it would be like a minute. So I'm, like, getting sleepy because there's nothing happening on the screen. And then, you know, I get to the door of where uh-huh. I need to be, and then I have to click on the door. Then, you know, it's another minute of loading. So I just sat there and watched loading screens for probably 3 hours. And I was like, I'm so tired. Nothing is happening.
Plus, but, I mean, and as one who has not played the game at all, but the, like, visually, that game does not have a lot of variety that I saw.
Yeah. Well,
the section, yeah, it's, I mean, it's just a lot of brown gray. There's not a lot of.
On the Wasteland, it's definitely a lot of brown gray. Yeah. Obviously, the strip, the New Vegas strip, has a lot more color.
It made me feel sleepy.
But, yeah, it was hard towards the end there in the morning.
I'm in a tan colored nightmare.
But I gave that game an 8.5, mostly because there were so many. It's just like Fallout 3. You cannot put out a game that resembles the original that much and have it still be that broken.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
You should have put some effort into fixing it. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Come 8.5
on. 8.5 is a high score.
It is, because it's still Fallout and still a great game.
What did Fallout 3 get?
It got a 9.6.
Okay.
So, that makes sense. You know. But people are obviously bitching about it.
You're on notice.
Yeah. Bitching about what? The score you gave?
Yeah. What? Too high, too low? For some people. But
I don't think it's too low. I would support you on the 8.5 totally 100%.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even, I did not have your experience where it froze that many times. What happened to me is it did freeze a lot, but it never froze to the point where I had to reboot.
Right.
Yeah.
It did that once in 24 hours, okay. But it definitely froze a lot more times than that, but it managed to fix itself. Right. Yeah. I just like held on. I was like, all right, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
And then eventually like I started moving again.
Maybe she's just more patient than you are.
No. I thought I actually have a tendency to be that way. So I specifically didn't do that because of the load screens too. But what would happen? So when it would do it during menus and loads. Mm-hmm. And like if I was going through the Pip-Boy or something, it would freeze up then. Not really when I was running around in the environment. I mean, it straight up like crashed on me when I before I even started the game, when I literally put the game in and you get the, you know, you get the mm-hmm. intro little thing and then you get the little press start. I kept pressing start and nothing was happening. And I like sat there for 2 minutes. I'm like, is my controller broken? Right, so I changed the batteries. I tried it again. I'm like, wait, is this some weird PS3 thing where it's like all of a sudden defaulted to like controller number 3, but I really am on controller number 1, and I'm like, no, that doesn't happen here. So I'm like sitting like, what the F? And so then I rebooted and started, and then I got past the start screen. So then I used the Pip-Boy, and all of a sudden I was like,
oh my god. The Pip-Boy, I had a few problems with using that too. I'd push the button to pull it up, and instead of pulling the Pip-Boy up, it was just a blurred screen and nothing was there. But you could hear the sounds like it was supposed to be there. So it's like tick, 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 like going through a menu.
Because you've got it, you nerd. You've got it memorized. You've got the location.
No, I didn't. So I just kept pushing it on and off and on and off until eventually the Pip-Boy actually came up, but it took a few minutes.
Yeah. I had the Pip-Boy come up, but it only came up halfway. So the whole bottom half where the menu was gone completely.
Yeah.
And then I had it where I would go and have a conversation with an NPC. But it was a completely dark screen, and I could hear the voices.
Oh God! Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With all that said and done, the main story quest I did not find to be that interesting. Actually, at first I did like it because there's two different factions basically fighting over the Hoover Dam.
Spoilers.
I know I haven't finished.
This isn't
it
really
yet.
A spoiler.
Okay.
I'm
being super safe.
Okay. Sorry. If you want to know nothing about the game, which is in the opening cutscene, then sorry. The New California Republic, which is more like they're trying to like restart the Republic and all that crap. Where the
go government, Cali!
Yes, go California. And then the Legion, which is more based on Roman methodologies of taking over civilizations and using slaves and all that crap. But they still like have their pros and cons. Like, so Caesar's Legion... Every place over there is really safe because they've got everything under control, whereas over the NCR territory, things mm-hmm. aren't really that great necessarily, but quote-unquote, everybody's free. So that's what I liked until I realized that if you kill a member of the Legion, you mm-hmm. get karma. But if you kill a member of the NCR, you lose karma. So clearly they're telling you, what's this is good. The good side, this is the bad side, when really they didn't have to do that and it would have made it much more compelling.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm.
But side quests, there are some really awesome ones.
Cool.
So those are really the bread and butter of this game, and that's what you'd want to go do.
Cool. Megan, how about you?
Not much. Finished Enslaved, which was like pulling teeth. I had to start that game over 3 times because of glitches towards the end, and I was not happy with Ninja Theory for that. This is the second game that they've come out with that it's just like, this would be a fantastic game if you bothered to polish it, but they didn't, so I'm stuck with wonky controls under too tight of a camera during boss fights. And so like the last boss fight was absolutely infuriating because it was just like, in order to take this big robot scorpion thing down, I had to aim at stuff and I was constantly fighting the camera, you know, to do that. And it was like, you've got to be kidding me. So that is pretty much it. I didn't get a chance to go back to Ocarina of Time yet. So I'm still in the village where you help the lady find her chickens and all that stuff. So that was a big accomplishment, finding that last chicken under a crate. Sure, why not?
Yeah. So over the 24 hours, I played almost all of Deathspank. I got all the way to the last boss, but I was like low on money and low on potions and low on everything else. So
and
I
low
to...
on personal energy in real life. Yeah.
And I'm like, I really don't want to go finish all these other side quests right now so that I can be powerful enough to do this. But it's a very funny game. I enjoyed it. The main character is voiced by the same guy who does the voice of Captain Quark in the Ratchet & Clank series, and he's perfect for it, although he seems like he's getting typecast a little bit now. And then what else did I play? Dana and I played some Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also played it with Greg during the 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I don't see a lot that's different about it from the first one.
I think you get more, I mean, the additional creation tools. Like, because you can do cinematics.
You can do cinematics. I mean, gameplay wise, it's pretty much
right.
The same.
Yeah, there are mini games in there and you can play and build those. But yes, I mean, it's Little Big Planet with some more. Aspects.
I don't want to.
It's like when you buy Sims expansion packs, and it's still the Sims, but now you have a new fence.
Right.
Yeah.
It is kind of an It's too bad you couldn't do it as an expansion.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just don't have a lot of interest in making my own levels. So.
And I suck at it.
I don't have the patience to do that. Yeah. Although I love seeing some of the stuff people bust out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wow. Some of you are amazing.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat there. And then I also played some of Metroid Other M. Because we've been getting a ton of questions coming into the Girlfight email address wanting to know what we all think about it. So I figured maybe one of us should actually play it. I did not finish
it.
Yeah. I did not finish it, but I really don't see what the big deal everybody is making about her character. I thought she seemed fine to me. She's not like uber like tough kick ass. She's kind of more thoughtful and intuitive, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think
you haven't played any of the other Metroids either. I haven't either. So.
But she has has no personality in those other games.
Right.
And what I think is happening is the people that are really into those games have kind of built her up in their mind as having a certain personality, and that doesn't jive with what she has in this one.
Okay.
And it also this whole kind of brand of feminism that just rejects anything that might be considered a stereotype really annoys me. And I think that that's kind of where some of this backlash is coming from. Like, it's okay to have feelings. It's okay to cry.
I don't know.
You know, it's just like, I don't understand it. I think she's...
Well, I notice a lot of the people, this is just me personally, like who I've talked to, not that I've gone out and taken a survey or anything, but a lot of the people that are complaining about...
I saw you out
there
with a clipboard on the street.
Excuse me, ladies. a lot of people that I hear complaining are guys. And so I'm wondering if because she doesn't have a personality, so to speak, in the previous games, if it's easier for them to then put themselves in that mentality.
Yeah.
Because she's just a shell, but she's still the hot shell. So, you know, like the way that I look at it is like they see her as an Angelina Jolie action star. And yet all of a sudden now you're finding out that she's like a real woman kind of sort of.
you know, whatever, whichever one you prefer. I personally just didn't play or want to play the game because it looked mm-hmm. like the controls were a little...
They're okay. I mean, it's kind of weird to have to switch between holding the Wiimote sideways and then pointing it at the screen.
Yeah. I've never been a big fan of that either.
Yeah. I mean, it works okay. It's just kind of weird to have to do mm-hmm. that. Control-wise, it was fine. Platforming areas of it get really hard, which is kind of why I stopped. Mm-hmm. And I've never played any other Metroid games, mostly for that reason. Right, it's just like... After trying this level, you know, thing right. for 10 times, I'm just kind of done with it. But like I said, I didn't finish the story, so I don't know what happens later on. But personality-wise, I thought she was fine. I don't see what everybody's problem is. And I just started New Vegas.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dana.
Yeah,
I just started New Vegas today, but I've only played it for like half an hour, and it hasn't crashed on me yet. So.
Oh, give it time. Oh, good. Yeah. You have to play it for another half an hour.
I know. Give it another 30 minutes, and then I will.
All right, so that's what we're playing. So today we're going to talk about games going mainstream. There's been lots of stuff happening lately that...
Oh, is that yours?
I think you turned me on.
Oh, shoot, I'm doing the wrong one, sorry.
Yeah, I was like, it's still
sorry.
Really loud.
I'm doing headphone levels. Hang on, Megan, let me look at a... Hang on.
She's two.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Continue on, everyone.
I'm like, why did I go deaf all
well, and I was yeah. like,
really loud.
I was like, Megan... Megan must be deaf because it's at zero. Only.
No.
Yeah, okay. That's better.
Thank you.
Or must have supersonic hearing. Sorry. Yeah. Other way around. Whatever. All right.
So lots of stuff has happened lately. One of which is that Oprah, who has many, many times decried video games, you know, she doesn't like them at all, actually gave away 360s and Kinects on her show. Was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
That did, PR did person's getting a big fat raise.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Says Christine, as someone who used to do PR for Edelman.
And we used to do giveaways and stuff on Ellen, but we never cracked mm-hmm. Oprah until now. Apparently, that somebody got through, which is amazing.
Well, and I had heard IGN, as I'm sure mm-hmm. numerous mm-hmm. media outlets had always tried to reach her as people to like if they were doing. An expose on video games mm-hmm. or commentary mm-hmm. or whatever, that they would come to us looking for people to be on the show to comment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she would not budge mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah.
And doesn't surprise me that she finally sold out. This is her last season, right?
Yeah,
it is. Her last season.
Yeah, good. Go out with a bang. Get off my television set.
Oh.
I hate that woman with a passion.
Wow.
She stands for everything I find disgusting and wrong with Middle America.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Tell us how you really feel.
okay. But anyway, that is the focus. Is the
yes.
Yeah. Don't go off on.
Well, and then I also got personal issues because of the whole video game thing. Because she's always decried it, and she still always seemed to lean towards the it's unhealthy, it's bad for you, it's that ruining our kids. That's always the vibe you got because she's got a bunch of you know middle class housewives mm-hmm. watching her, and they're you know it's like. Spoon feeding these women, and so I've always taken a personal affront mostly to that because I've had great experiences, you know. It brought my family together, you know, and so I'm just like, oh god.
Yeah, no, that does drive me nuts when people just default to that. My parents default to that.
Yeah,
it drives me crazy. But
yeah,
anyway, so Oprah gave
so
away.
Also, I mean, I think that that is going to do huge things for Kinect. Actually,
it's
I
good.
Think that
Since
may have
half
been
a, billion,
a game changer because
since they're doing $500 million in marketing on this thing.
Yeah, but I mean, but just having the thing on Oprah, I think, is probably going to do more than all of that marketing.
Getting it
yeah.
into people's homes.
I have a question though. Did they just go, "Hey, you're getting an Xbox 360 and a Kinect," and not explain what it was, or did they have some sort of a segment on there where it was like, "Oh, this is the new motion control"?
I did not see
whatever.
The early. It sounded kind of like maybe they. Had John Stewart like that they
John
were doing
Stewart.
Something with it on the I don't know it was weird. I watched the last minute like which is where she said and you're all getting it you know and that was all the way
I imagine that there was something earlier in the show where they sort
Those
of demoed
women disgust me.
I'd totally scream if I found it
but it would be funny if they didn't and they were just like oh you're getting this thing and everybody's like I don't know what that is but cool
oh they were all freaking out they were still all freaking out
well but of course they are because they're told to freak out
they've got a producer
they've got
there.
Like a freak out banner above their head and if they don't do it They're getting kicked out of the studio.
I would have much more respect for Oprah if she actually had a banner that said freak out now on her stage. I'd be like, okay, I take it all back.
Yeah. You're awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I still, though, anybody was watching at home, if they weren't aware of it, we're going to be like, what's that?
Yeah. So. And they showed a little, it was showing like the total Microsoft, you know, the marketing clips, the trailers of the white bread
this
family.
This is how it works. It's perfect.
Well, it was like the white bread family all playing in their living room, you know, like having fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody's going to, I shouldn't say everybody. I think more people are going to be buying it now, but I think for who it matters it matters to them that they sell it. They don't care about what we think, really.
That's true.
I was going to say, I mean, we all know better, but then again, you know, whatever.
They would prefer the hardcore like it, but it's not a deal breaker.
They don't really care as long as other people buy it.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so it was there. You saw a thing.
I saw an article in a female fashion mag. I want to say it's in Style. I'm not totally sure. I unfortunately threw the magazine away. But there was an article in there, like a full one-page spread, mostly dedicated, if not entirely dedicated, from what I remember, to Nintendo, specifically like the exercise stuff. And I think they had a few DS, maybe 3DS comments on there. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting to see that actually come up in like a legit hardcore national female fashion mag directed towards women that would never in a million years think to get into video gaming, whether it's for exercise or not. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of blew me away. And what's funny is it actually kind of ticked me off, because way before I even worked at IGN, when I was just doing freelance stuff for us, I had actually bought a bunch of female magazines. Mm-hmm. And looked up the editors in chiefs and like sent them or called them and said, hey, you know, if you, I think this is up and coming, I'd really like to be a reviewer or a contributor to your magazine in regards to this stuff. Well, you should really look into it. Blah, 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 blah. Never got a response. Never heard anything. Yada, yada, yada. And of course, now it's popping up. I'm sure it has to do with the holidays coming around. So I'm sure that spot was probably bought by Nintendo or what have you. Mm-hmm. But still, the fact that it was there was both impressive and personally daunting, but impressive to see. It's
I just think, I mean, you were probably at a time where it wasn't quite as popular as now.
Yeah, because it was pre-Wii.
It was pre-Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pre-Wii. And it's nice to see these things cropping up here and there. I'm just nervous that they're not going to do it right, because the article, the woman who wrote it, I've never heard her name in our circles, and our circles are pretty small. You know, so who? Why?
Well, she's not. I mean, she's obviously she's a staff writer for whatever magazine,
and she probably didn't.
She got her information from Nintendo. They probably didn't buy it unless it said an advertorial.
Yeah, I didn't see advertorial anywhere on there.
Then it's probably just a pitch.
Didn't buy it.
Straight pitch.
Okay. It did sound a lot like a PR. Like she had grabbed snippets from a press release and kind of cut and pasted them together. Maybe
that's
had
not
it
uncommon.
On. Yeah, maybe had turned on this system for like 5 minutes and was like, okay, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. Looked up.
She may not have even had the system.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what makes me nervous. I love to see this even happening in the first place, just because it reaches a broader audience. Mm-hmm. But I'd really prefer it to be done,
by people who actually know what they're talking about.
Just you know, and it doesn't have to be a review or anything. It doesn't have to be negative. It can still be an overview or a preview, but just have it be somebody that knows what they're doing. That was a little disappointing. So I don't know. I'm like good for it. I'm bad for it. Whatever.
I will say that that's not unique to a magazine like that, because any of those like Maxim and all of those things where they have them in, like that's all basically a PR pitch, and then they're like, oh sure, because
their inclusion is only a few sentences, right? So they don't play that much of the game if they play the game at all.
Potentially disagree, only because I had freelanced for FHM UK way before I started any IGN stuff, and they literally only had 3-sentence snippets about the game, and they would send me the game to play, and I'd have to finish it. There are some magazines that do. There are more of the hip-hop ones, you might actually have played them.
I'm just saying nobody on the other end's gonna know if you do it or not, and also the other. I mean, just as someone who worked on a magazine, like the print schedule timing, like when you see reviews hitting in a magazine that come out, like when the reviews are hitting the same time that the game is coming out. And sometimes that was like 2 months before that thing got shipped on off. So it's like they didn't have, if they had anything in front of them, they didn't have a very
complete
version. I mean, it wasn't the final build. Or maybe it was, but not really usually.
Doubtful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, also, too, I think the issue comes up where obviously they're going to have somebody on staff that's writing, you know, that they think understands their audience. So I could see them going for, you know, somebody who doesn't play games very much to write that just because
that makes sense.
That's their audience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I am certainly not the audience for InStyle. So I wouldn't fit in there. And then speaking of women's fashion magazines, there was an article in Cosmopolitan saying that us girl gamers get more action than regular women.
Not surprising.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a slut, but, but I've seen my fair share of penis.
Wasn't expecting you to say that, but all right.
Yeah.
Let's get this party started.
Hey, I'm 33. You know, I mean, I speak the big girl speak. I've been there. Done that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Just, yeah, just so, killed the room. We're all like avoiding eye contact.
I partially brought this
look uncomfortable. Look at me, damn it.
I partially found this article just for Jess. I knew she'd say something wild and crazy. And
I didn't actually read it. Did you read it, Megan?
No, I didn't get you. I actually found it on my IGN blog. Somebody had blogged about it, and I was just like, I hadn't heard of this.
Uh-huh. It's funny that you mention it, because when I had bought the InStyle magazine that had the Nintendo stuff in it, I actually saw that on the newsstand, and I was actually so insulted by it, like, oh my god, seriously, you know, that I didn't pick up Cosmo. Not that I normally would, because I actually hate Cosmo, but I mean, I specific, you know, right. I went out of my way to, like, I was a little taken aback. I wasn't like offended or anything, but I just was kind of like, wow, what a cheap way to sell your magazine. Like, you're just trying to cash in on the...
But that's Cosmo. Though. Come on. Every line is about sex.
I buy every fashion magazine except Cosmo.
Your sex life.
No, right. I don't mind that. The
what
sex
he
thing.
Really
I just mean
likes
like...
Which is every month they have a new solution. You're just like, do any of your ideas work in the first
the
place?
The nine secrets he's not telling you.
What are they? Dana, what are they?
I don't know. But
what's he not telling me?
Next month.
Why aren't there 10?
Yeah.
Oh my god, because that's the big one. That's the big secret.
That's the one for next month.
That's next month.
Yeah.
I'm holding it.
Here's the answer. He's not going to marry you.
Aww. Oh. Find it. So.
I mean.
Yeah. I would actually say, though, just judging on the number of emails that both we and that I see go into the other podcasts about all of the gamer boys who are always very interested in finding a gamer girl, I could see how there would be an element of truth. There are a lot of men out there who are looking for a woman who would want to play games with them. Mm-hmm. And if you found one, I would think that... I mean, I'm not saying you necessarily... Your standards could necessarily be... You would have to have a different set of...
Well, it's just, you know, it's like anything. You date it's somebody like that you have similar interests to, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Although it seems ironic that it seems to work the opposite for guys.
What do you mean?
Oh, that playing games would get them laid less.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can honestly say that I've always looked for guys that were video gamers.
Yeah, but you
nerds.
Are a gamer.
Yeah.
Slash nerd. So, but
so
I'm saying if you,
for them.
But for most girls, they aren't. So
I will say, and I will say, I had new empathy for guys who enjoy games, because this stereotype of women is definitely that they don't. Because I was at my daughter's daycare, and they had some after school sort of like some like, hey, all the parents can meet and greet sort of thing, which I hate doing that stuff, because I'm like, I don't know. The only thing we have in common is that our kids go to the same place.
Yeah.
And so we were standing around and someone was like, oh, what do you do? And when I'm talking with three other moms and, you know, and I always just say I'm an editor. And then they were like, oh, what do you write about? And I'm like, video games. And they were all like,
ugh. Your parents get away from me.
And I'm like, oh, all the poor boys that I work with who, you know, get this from many women all the time. I mean, I had no empathy for it.
I've always had sympathy empathy in regards to, but from my father's perspective, and it kind of just rolled into this, like, guys in general that are really big gamers, is that I remember coming home numerous times and my dad would be playing, like, some sort of PC first person shooter, whatever, let's just say Call of Duty or something.
Right.
And my mom
you know, those games, you know, you have to spend some time. And my mom would just constantly be nagging him for no reason, because the only thing she was doing was sitting in the living room watching some dumb TV show. Mm-hmm. And she would constantly nag him to stop playing so that he could come and watch this dumbass show with her. And I'm like, just leave. He's happy. Just leave right. him alone. He's doing.
That's exactly what happened.
My father
house.
Works hard all day. You don't have a job other than being a housewife.
My mom did,
which
have a
is
job
fine. But that's your choice. But that's your choice. So if you're gonna spend your time watching TV, let my father mm-hmm. spend time playing his game. And I can just imagine from like anybody, any male's perspective, like, how much easier and nicer it would be to hook up with a girl that plays games, because then you don't ever have to explain to them, mm-hmm. this is my time. This is how I unwind, or this is how I have fun. And I'm sorry you don't identify with it, but just mm-hmm. please shut up and leave me alone. Yes. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one guy I used to work with who was dating a girl who was very, very anti-game, and she would literally argue—well, she was supposedly anti-game. That was her stance. But she, at one time, got into a big argument with him over games while she was playing Bookworm.
You know what I think it is? I seriously think women that complain, women that don't play video games, not everybody, that's a very general statement, but most that don't play games or don't understand it, and then date somebody that's really into it, and then complain about it, it just seems like 9 times out of 10, they're complaining not about the game itself, but the fact that the attention that he's spending on the game is not attention they could be getting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And even if they're occupied doing something else, they still want his attention. They want to be like the forefront of his mind constantly. And I just think that's a horrible, horrible way to be in a relationship, because...
Well, I think that's like, with anything. I mean, I think as long as the other half of your relationship isn't focusing every spare second of free time that they have on another hobby, whatever it may be, you know, yeah. whatever it is. Like, I know, like, my dad is a golf nut and is gone all the time.
You sound so Ryan, disgusted right well, now.
It's just because golfing is
she's
very...
allowed to, because he's disgusted with what she does.
All right, fair enough.
Yes, there you, well, that would drive me much more nuts, just because it's, you leave the house, like, you're gone for 6 hours, and it's freaking expensive. Cause,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Brian likes golfing, but he golfs, like, twice a year now, because it is, you know. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. I just don't understand. Yeah, mm-hmm. Anyway.
At least when you're gaming, you're at home, technically.
Right. As long and as you help out if something happens.
And you have save points. So if shit were to really hit the fan,
yeah.
you just save.
Right.
And then you go do your stuff, and then you can come back to your
right.
game.
Right.
Versus golf, where you're gone all day. That's a great yeah. example, actually.
Yeah.
Or anything that involves the outdoors. So just don't go outdoors.
Outdoors are bad.
And games are a lot cheaper than golf.
I know.
Yeah.
A lot.
Just imagine if you were in Japan, how expensive that would be.
No, yeah, it's crazy. It's already crazy around here in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, got to be $100 a pop.
I tried playing once, and what a disaster.
Oh, I played more than once, and it was ugly.
I literally, now keep in mind, I was going to say a different sentence than that I thought about it in my head. I'd been playing softball, so I'm used to, for lack of a better term, because I really know how, no other way to say this, but hitting balls.
Yes.
And I could not get that golf ball off the tee to save my soul. Mm-hmm. Like, I tried so hard.
You got to keep your head down.
I almost
down.
Hit myself in the face with the yeah. with the club. Ball club. I was going to call it a mallet with yeah. the chain.
It's croquet.
Yeah.
I'm actually phenomenal at croquet.
I do like croquet, actually.
My parents used to play it all the time, and so we'd go out in the yard and play croquet. Okay, I recommend croquet, no golf.
Yeah.
And, yes. and anyway. Other outdoor sports.
Okay.
Yeah, so on? We have complained quite a bit about stuff on this episode.
Yeah.
But generally, I think it's a very good thing that mm-hmm. we're starting to see games pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
In all these places.
It'll be interesting to see how it takes.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of my complaints thus far in regards to that are mm-hmm. mild complaints. I'm very happy to see the directions mm-hmm. it's headed. I just want to make sure it's... I'm just a little hesitant that it's not...
And it's just going to be like the movies where they're playing video games, like, and they're just all over the place. And you're like, what? Nobody plays games like
that.
And
it's not in fashion yeah. magazines either. Yo, a couple of weeks ago, there was actually a whole technology section in The Economist, and there was a big thing on video games in that, too. So it's yeah. not just fashion magazines and sort of fluff pieces. It's, you know, making it into...
Yeah, well, I think video games have actually been in the finance magazines for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a big business,
yeah.
so...
It was just so odd to see it
yeah.
in the fashion
Was it in
mags.
Time, like, top 100 in conventions or something.
Right, yeah, yeah. I'm sure it was.
Of all time, I can't remember what it was, but I was just, I asked my friends at Edelman, I was like, holy crap, nice win. Like, I can't believe you made it.
Oh, N-Guy's not there anymore, so you're allowed to say that.
The N-Guy was Newsweek.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah.
You know, Time's a Pack of Idiots. It's Lev Grossman who does a lot of their stuff, and I think he's a horrible writer. Sorry, Lev Grossman, if you're listening.
Just threw down the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right.
Yeah. So, so yeah, all this stuff about us preaching games getting mainstream, it's happening. Finally.
Thank your fellow PR person.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you're just mad you didn't make that.
No, I really, I hated pitching media. No, I was like, the worst
really
job
awful,
in the world.
Awful thing.
By the way, I like Oprah. So I don't care right. about all y'all haters. I like her.
I didn't say I hated her.
I know, I do.
Somebody did. Said,
it was me.
Somebody did.
I'm just
she's
kind
evil.
Of a...
She's, I just don't watch her. I no.
She's
care
the
less.
Antichrist. I'm convinced.
I do
I'm
have
convinced.
To say, yeah. I think I like watching Ellen more because she seems to give more stuff away and she seems to be more excited about
see,
it.
See, that's what I think
she
is
give
wrong.
Away cars, yo.
Just kidding. I have no idea.
I don't want to watch.
She did a 12 Days of Christmas, which it was when,
still,
I,
Xbox
was when I was, yeah, which I was on my maternity leave at that point. And it was just fun to see what all she was giving away. So I was totally, I don't actually watch daytime talk shows, but I did because I was at home on maternity leave.
Do it.
Watching her give stuff away. I like watching people give
like
free stuff.
Ellen,
I cry.
I just like Ellen because she's entertaining.
That's what I was going to say. Not because she necessarily... like
she dances.
I actually don't like them giving away free stuff to that extent, only because...
I thought you were going to say free stuff that I don't get.
Well, to that extent, because it just... I don't know. It just cheapens the show to me, and it's just such a grab. It's like
oh,
a
I
grab
love watching
fest.
People get
and
free stuff.
And these women that are usually there watching the show can probably go out and buy the stuff for themselves, and yet it's like... It's like, God, just you put some free shit in front of people sometimes and they just totally lose
it.
Their. It's like I watch them freaking out.
I fully confess to
and
having
I'm just
cried.
Like,
cried during The Price is Right. Watching people win cars.
What Wait, did you just say?
Cry?
I have, like full, I have cried.
People yeah, like flip
like,
out during that
like,
show.
Oh, like they're so happy. They gotta cry. I fully cried watching The Price is Right.
Listen, I'm not saying that I'm above that kind of thing. Like you could easily buy me. Like whatever, and I would be thrilled, or I would win something, and I would be thrilled. Like, I'm not trying to say like I'm above that kind of thing, but as far as television goes, I mean, like once in a while, I get it because it's cool and they want to focus on a particular product. But these like, Oprah giveaways just seem like that's all she ever seems to do anymore. It's like watching Maury Povich and watching him do like.
Is he the father?
It's completely different than watching.
Yeah,
that
is
one of the very poor comparisons.
I don't mean the guests that you have on it. I just mean like they're always doing makeovers, or they're always doing like
I love
who's
watching
the father,
makeovers.
And she's always doing
paternity tests are the best.
If you're not paying for it, why do you care? It makes
paying
people happy,
what?
And it makes her happy.
Paying for that,
I
like
doubt it makes
people...
Oprah happy, except for the fact that she gets more viewers.
See, that's why I can't
why
stand haters on
so
Oprah
personally?
Because I can't stand when people rag on Oprah for no other reason than they're just.
What
like...
has she done other than give away free stuff and?
She's actually done lots of
she's
charities.
She's done lots
of
gonna
yeah.
finish
and
she has that
promoted
sentence
reading.
With other than give away free stuff and charities.
She got book clubs started back up again. As an ex English teacher, I appreciate that. Even if I don't always like what she chose.
I will
and
totally
even if
support.
Even if I am embarrassed personally to be seen reading a book that has chosen by Oprah up on the cover.
I hate that they put those on there. Like, no, just put something like, I could peel off.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's so hilarious that Kathy Griffin named her book Official Book Club Selection.
Yeah.
I actually have to say that I, as well as the charities, also fully support her doing the book club stuff because I just, I'm a big reader and I love to read. And so that really, you know, I think people forget that they've got time or to make time in their day to read. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to see that going. And yeah, I get the like embarrassment with the Oprah seal of approval, but she does come out with some pretty good choices.
There are definitely some good books.
Yeah, and then there's some that
I just
there's some that
are but, my but. Problem with her is just this kind of mindless following mentality.
Well,
so your
problem is
Ellen
with
is
daytime
more
TV.
Entertaining.
Does anybody remember? I think it's James Frey's
yes.
book.
Oh yeah,
the
yeah,
whole
yeah.
debacle, and she brought him back and just ripped him a new one.
That
and
was
I was
cheap.
And no. I disapproved
what is,
because
what is the, I
well,
don't
so basically
know what it is.
This guy wrote a memoir and
that was fake,
and it,
but it was it largely
was,
fiction.
It was yeah. largely yeah. fiction, but here's what I'm saying. First of all, I never believe memoirs because
right.
how much can you really remember?
Yeah.
Anyway. And second of all, the whole damn book, he's saying, I am a liar. Mm-hmm. Hello, he's telling the truth. He's a liar.
Yeah,
that's what the whole book is. It doesn't. I don't know. To me, it didn't.
Wow,
it
you didn't, just made a continuous circle with. He's telling the truth. I am a liar. Like, there's really no. That thing goes on.
But then she really hated the way she treated him.
Well,
after
so what did she do?
So she had put it on.
She put it on as a
memoir, and then when it came out and it was a big scandal that it came out that this whole thing was largely fiction.
Yeah.
And so then she brought him back on and just basically read him the Riot Act on her show.
So she took the time to have this guy come on her show, which probably means she paid for his flight out there. She paid for him only so that she can sit there and yell at him and embarrass him publicly for something that he didn't do wrong in the first place.
Well, he did do wrong. He totally lied.
He shouldn't have put it as a memoir, but he does say, he says in the book constantly that he's a liar. But
there you go.
You know,
it was a big scandal in the literary world, and it was a scandal that was way beyond this. But Oprah, I think, was very upset. She had been personally shamed because she had picked this as a book selection, and
but that's the thing. That's ridiculous. Did she read it, and did she enjoy it?
Yeah, because I know. If it's still a good book at the end of the day, who cares?
That was my argument. It didn't take away anything from the book, whether or not it was true. I still enjoyed reading the book.
Yeah. We've totally gotten derailed.
Let's ask questions. Sorry, that was my fault.
No, that's okay.
We got a little fighting it.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm always a fight instigator, too. I love it.
Maybe we'll bring Oprah up more often. Questions. If you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. First question comes to us from Lewis. Lewis wants a suggestion for a really good iPhone game because he can't find anything that he thinks is good.
Angry Birds Cut the Rope.
Cut the Rope, I have to say, I've been playing and it's pretty good. And I also just downloaded and started playing and it's pretty decent. Hang on, I'm looking for it right now. Train Yard,
eh? Mm-hmm. Also, watch the IGN app show.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well done. Yeah, we do it. Levi does our wireless guy does a weekly app show.
We've got some. You just did the last one, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then we've got, I think, a couple more games for when we tape the next one, which I don't know when we're going to tape it, but soon.
Is it not weekly?
I don't know if it's regularly.
I don't know if it necessarily makes it every week.
We try to do weekly, but because it's so new and we're still trying to figure out how the format's going to go, it's kind of just, it's not weekly, but it's often.
Okay. Yes.
Well, and in any event, Levi covers games constantly on IGN. So, next question comes to us from Andrew. Andrew wants to know if any of us have played Borderlands and what we thought of it. I have not.
I tried it. I didn't really like it. I don't know. Something about it, just I couldn't get into it.
I've played it for a few hours, but then it's sort of, I wanted to play with other people and I couldn't find anybody to play with. So it just was sort of one of those things where I was like, well, I guess I'll just shelve it for now and wait. And then it's something where it never, never comes back up. But I did really enjoy the time that I spent with it.
I probably spent a good 3-4 hours with it. And I think what, I really don't know, but I think the thing that kind of threw me off on it it was the constant back and forth. I just felt like I was going and getting these random quests. And I mean, that's every game. I think the reason it just didn't work for me on this one was because there was not a really overly tight storyline. Like, you play Fallout, you go here and you go here, and it's all kind of interconnected and you get to read the story as you're interacting with it. Whereas this one was more like, go out to Uncle Joe and talk to him and then come back to me and then go out to this and then talk to him and come back to me and blah, blah, blah. And so, like, for, you know, and I've had a lot of people say, well, you just got to spend more time with it. But with the amount of games that are out there right now, I kind of like, if I can't get into a game in 3 or 4 hours, like even slightly interested, then I'm done.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Yeah.
That's sort of what happened with Enslaved. Like, I played for a few hours and I was like, I can't stand these controls. I'm not going to play it. I've got other things on my plate. Like, I just don't have time.
Yeah, I tried playing Enslaved as well, and I probably played a good, I was pretty far along, but my biggest problem was that Monkey looks just like Nick Scarpino, and also kind of sounds like him, minus, you know, and so I could not turn that off in my head, and I was just like, oh God, I can't play this anymore.
Okay, so next question comes to us from Jared. Jared said that when he was in Japan, he noticed that video games have a much stronger presence, such as the arcades and whatnot. And he wants to know if we think that the game companies in America just simply lack the influence they have in Japan, and is gaming still somewhat stigmatized over here? And if the Supreme Court rules in favor of video games, will that change? I think so. I mean,
I'm also going to do maybe completely not based on anything theory, but I think that Japan I'm totally going to be talking out of my ass. I think Japan has a lot more public spaces just because, like, as a rule, you tend to have a lot smaller living space and personal space and everything. And it's why a lot of people don't have, like, they use their mobile phone for a lot more for internet access because they may not have it at home. And I think you just have a lot more public spaces where you go out and do that sort of thing. Whereas in the U.S., we tend to have, like, big setups of everything of our own
at home,
in
yeah.
homes. And I think that may be why you just get more of that.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Because arcades have pretty much largely died here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's because everybody games at home.
Right.
So, but I do still think there's a stigma in this country, obviously, or there wouldn't be a Supreme Court argument happening.
Right.
Right. But hopefully that will change if they rule in favor.
Japanese arcades are awesome.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, I like their so video game themed bars.
Yeah.
Those are quite tasty.
Though I hear they're small.
They're very small.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But sorry. They have Princess Peach drinks.
Nice cough on me.
I was kind of just turning my head in here. You didn't want to make eye contact with me earlier.
I will cough on you.
I will make you pay attention. Why do you guys think that Japan doesn't have the stigma related to video games? I mean, they do, you know, they do in the sense that those people have a tendency still to be considered like otaku or nerds.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, I mean, they're not. It seems so much more
tech savvy society.
When it started,
the companies that make video games make up an extremely large part of Japan's. You know, just the whole tech industry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Japan basically yes. rules the tech industry.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I
just kind of, this is another more half-assed theory, but they use public transportation a lot more, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do on the train?
Right.
For an hour.
No, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah. you know, I'm going to play a game because
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not going to sit there and stare at the person across from me from
right.
for the next 40
sometimes
minutes.
That can be pretty entertaining.
That's yeah. true.
The other thing is they're not like, actually, that's from my friend in Japan. They don't
yeah,
have
talk
situations.
To the woman who actually lived
They actually don't have, like, in a situation, like, we have roommates and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll live in an apartment with, like, three or four other people, and they tend not to do that. Even
do they
though
just have really small one.
They
like
usually have one small studio. Unmarried girls will live with their parents. It's
mm-hmm.
it's basically a rule. And then the guys mm-hmm. might go off and have their own thing, but they'll have a very small apartment. Mm-hmm. And then when they get married, then they'll move into mm-hmm. a smaller house. And if they mm-hmm. get a console there, then it's, you know, for kids and stuff. So mm-hmm. I still think that the sort of youth culture still goes out to arcades and stuff like that. Because
mm-hmm.
they're able to socialize more. They can bring like 8 other
mm-hmm.
friends after they go to karaoke, which is still mm-hmm. massively popular in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the last time I went to Japan, I couldn't get into, my friends and I couldn't get into karaoke because there was a 2-hour wait. And we went to like 3 or 4 different karaoke places. And it's just
mm-hmm.
that phenomenal. So
mm-hmm.
they still go out a lot to do stuff.
Yeah.
Talking about Japan is making me hungry.
Sure.
I'm not hungry.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry, their food's so good. I'm
yeah,
like,
it is.
Yeah. Okay, so next question comes to us from Oppressed Ostrich, because there's not a regular name on here, so I'm going to say their email. So they've been playing Dragon Age and said that unfortunately did not get their character to level 20. They want to get the trophy before beating the game, and he or she was wondering, can they continue leveling their character by playing through the DLC? I didn't play
I
DLC, so I don't
I,
know.
I played some of the DLC, and
anything.
I think mine may have leveled up, so I think it might be possible,
God,
but
I
wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Some of them
know,
because they're in completely separate.
Yeah, they're totally
areas
separate.
Yeah.
And separate stories. But
so,
I
like, the Witch Hunt
one,
the Liana one, probably not. But
it's actually connected.
Yeah.
I would just look for more side quests. I'm sure that, because I think
yeah,
I
there's,
yeah,
bound
there's
to be
always
some
stuff
yeah.
that you missed.
Yeah. So next question comes to us from Chris. It's another Dragon Age question. And we hadn't even mentioned it, you know.
There was
other,
some
than
yeah.
other than that I mentioned that I finally
that
started
yeah,
playing.
Right,
yeah,
right. So Chris wants to know, when we were playing Dragon Age, who did we choose to be king and or queen? And if we chose Alistair to be king, did we feel rejected when he told you he wouldn't marry you?
I was a dude, so I picked Alistair and I didn't care because he obviously was never going to marry me.
I was a girl. I played... Two. I played one as a elf, I think, and one as human girl.
Uh-huh.
Human girl, I think you can't. He will marry you.
Human
yeah,
girl,
he'll marry
he'll
you.
Marry
and
you.
I,
yeah.
because I ended up becoming queen, but then you guys kind of separate. You do your own thing. But the elf, he doesn't. But you can end up as his concubine.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
there's
you
Thank
do
God.
if you harden him, you actually can be his mistress. But
That's
I
so
was
sad.
Human girl, and I told the. Logan started to go take a hike, and so I crowned Alistair, and then I married him, and then spoiler alert, I could not get him to stop trying to sacrifice himself for me at the end. So I was a widow before I technically married him.
I did not make him, I made the chick queen because I wanted to be queen, and he's like, I can't marry you, you're an elf. So I was like, well, screw you then, you're not being king. So I made the chick the queen, and that's then awesome. I let him die at the end.
Nice. Major spoilers.
Yes.
But I still don't understand exactly how this works. I have to say it's killing me in the game because I don't like people not liking me. Going through and I'm trying to make all these people happy and it doesn't work.
Yeah, if you do anything nice, Morrigan will absolutely hate you.
You have to pick whose good side you want to be on, and you're not going to be able to please everybody.
Because I did that with...
I'm going to keep trying.
Because I did it with Mass Effect, and that's why I never had any relationships because everybody was such an even keel.
You were just walking the line.
There was nothing going on.
So I have to go full bore into just picking my allies. And
yep.
Yeah.
And then what, you just keep the other ones locked away in a little closet and never pull them out?
I never used him either.
I just used him
He was
the
insulting
first time.
To me, like, right off the bat. It was like, I can't believe there's a woman doing this or something. It was some kind
and
of
you're like,
chauvinistic
you were in
thing.
A cage.
Yeah, and I'm like, screw
I
you.
Saved you.
Yeah.
Go away. Nice.
You missed out, though, because he has some really hilarious lines. And it actually gets better. He learns to accept you as a woman. Like, you have to keep kind of talking to him, and he'll be very just kind of blunt
Well,
with you,
I was completely happy with the banter between Alistair and Morrigan.
Those were funny.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of humor
in that
game.
Those two keep complaining all the time. Yeah.
They are a little bit whiny.
I'm like, shut up.
When teasing Alistair is the funniest to me.
Yeah,
that funny.
That's one thing that I liked about Dragon Age more than I did about Mass Effect was the level of humor just kind of in the background.
Do you use the dogs?
I did use the dog. That dog saved my ass more than once. Yeah. Everybody else died.
What's
that
your name
dog,
your dog
stayed alive.
Yeah.
I think I named him Rocky after one of my real dogs.
I named him Rufus.
Yeah, I named
Cerberus.
I don't know why.
I named mine Cerberus.
I named
mine
Buddy.
I don't remember what I named mine.
I always name him after my real life dog.
Yeah,
dog.
I know. That's
nice.
What I am too. Yeah. Okay, so we've got time for one more, and I'm going to skip this one because that's kind of an involved one.
Yeah, it's good. We don't need any
incidents. The next question comes to us from Daniel. Daniel wants to know if we think casual gamers consider themselves gamers or might later in the future, and how can he get his sister to listen to this podcast because he knows that she'll enjoy it. I don't think casual gamers consider themselves gamers at all.
I agree. And you could totally get your sister to listen to the podcast by trapping her in the car and then refusing to play anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just drive somewhere.
Or
like, and then
she
play
has
it.
An iPod or an iPhone, stealing it and downloading us forcefully onto her.
Yeah.
Yes. And deleting
and
everything
deleting
else.
Everything else.
Exactly. Or emailing her directly.
Put it in a folder so she doesn't totally kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this? You can tell her that if she listens to one full episode of us, we'll give her a game. How about that?
That would be really cool.
But she's got to write
how
in.
How are they going to prove that?
She's got to write
He's
in.
He's got to write back in, and she's got to write in, and, you know.
Yeah,
I
could
assume
totally
he'll
be like, yes, I am so-and-so's sister, and I listen to the podcast, and I talk like this.
Daniel, we're counting on your scout's honor here.
Yep,
so, So let us know.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Wait, so should he get one, too, though, for doing the work?
They can share.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So next question comes to us from John. John wants to know, this will be a nice one to end on. Okay. If we could reanimate our fellow male IGN editors into gaming bad guys, what would we make them, and in what comical or violent fashion would we choose to kill them?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
dude.
It ended on a good note.
Yeah.
Oh, who would I choose? I don't know if I should volunteer for this.
You shouldn't.
Probably not. Dana just did.
I'm like,
don't judge.
I don't know. I mean, I like them.
Yeah, I like them too. I would make them all into zombies from Plants vs. Zombies and just whack them.
Oh, that would be really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I wasn't even thinking of the person I think you think I'm thinking of.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, I know who you'd be thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one. I'm down with that. Because then they'd be... You know,
goofy.
Funny and cute.
Yeah. They'd all wear little cones on their head.
Exactly.
Like all the kids at PAX did this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm going to cop out and go with that one too. I'm trying to think of something good, but.
Megan?
I do, but I don't want to get in trouble. So.
Oh, come on.
Pass.
I mean, I
just
if you guys don't
how
care.
About this?
No,
don't,
I don't care.
Say the name of the person. Just say what you would turn them into and how you kill them.
Yeah.
How's that?
Well,
oh, okay.
There is one person who could be a robot.
Okay.
And how would you kill the robot?
That's a good question. I don't know. Throw a grenade
unplug
at it?
Unplug them?
Yeah, unplug them maybe.
I would turn mine into a random NPC from, what was that one? Black and white Wii game? Really violent?
Mad World?
Oh, Mad World.
And throw them into a fan.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to wrap up. Thanks so much for listening. As always, you can send questions, comments, and feedback to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN. And we will be back with you next week.